Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will spend some time highlighting a recent allocation change with respect to China made by the UBS Chief Investment Office. Joining us to walk us through the updates, glad to welcome back Jingchen Yu, Emerging Markets Strategist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Jingchen, nice to be with you this morning. Thank you for dropping by. Welcome back.
Great to be back, Ben. Excited. Thank you.
So, Jingchen, I do want to highlight up front that the Chief Investment Office recently downgraded China to neutral. So can you take a few moments here at the start to walk our listeners, our clients, through the thesis behind this allocation shift?
Absolutely. The so-called National People's Congress, or NPC, right, in early March, was supposed to be a pivotal event, giving investors some detail on not only just key economic targets, but also policy guidance. Since we know, without concrete answers on how to address the still problematic, for instance, property sector, local government debt issues, as well as weak consumption sentiment, we would be missing triggers for recovery on investment sentiment. So, in fact, market before the event was also quite upbeat about it as well, having delivered a close to 10% rebound since February by Chinese equities. But when we sort of, break down what came out of the government work report from the NPC, we found them quite balanced, meaning there's not much of a surprise that we as investors would have hoped to see in the upside. So, for instance, when you look at, a range of, measures ranging from fiscal, monetary, capital markets, these, outcomes so far have been quite neutral and balanced. And when it comes to property-related measures or consumption, these actually come out below our expectation. So regarding the targets, the headline GDP number, we think it's sort of in line with our expectation, but it is an ambitious goal, right, of around 5% this year. But with the high base and ongoing economic challenges, achieving this target will clearly require some, additional policy effort. Hence, with policy details from this important National People's Congress missing and macroeconomic challenges still persist, we were sort of, becoming a little bit more cautious on the overall risk assets in China, specifically Chinese equities, particularly in the absence of, solid catalysts, on the bottom up side, right, to reverse the current negative earnings revisions trend. We are, a little bit struggling to see room for meaningful, sustainable, and immediate re-rating of Chinese equities from here, particularly after a strong run in February. Therefore, we now expect Chinese equities to perform in line with other EM peers.
Given that performance expectation for Chinese equities, I'm curious, what area does CIO currently prefer, and how would you recommend, Jingchen, that investors position within Chinese equities at the moment?
Actually, within Chinese equity, first of all, as I highlighted before, we expect less upside and more potentially volatility ahead for the broader Chinese equity market in general. Therefore, we prefer to continue positioning in a defensive way, right? Trying to unlock in some, alpha opportunities within the segment, which potentially offers better risk reward. So what I mean by that is, in particular, we prefer the so-called Fortress 4 sectors that offer yields that are attractive, but also better, earnings visibility. So those four sectors are namely financials, utilities, energy, and telecoms. And these, you know, SOE heavy sectors make up close to around 25% of the overall MSCI China market cap, and have indeed outperformed the benchmark over the past, you know, year or so, despite pretty challenging market conditions. And we also think, you know, select names in this segment are also key beneficiaries of the ongoing SOE reforms. So therefore, in the very short term, over a tactical horizon, in other words, we sort of stay in a defensive way to position within Chinese equities market.
At the same time, I noticed an upgrade to Hong Kong equities to most preferred. Can you shed some light on the decision behind that?
Sure. Yeah. Glad they brought it up, Dan. Yeah, because in the meantime, when we downgraded China, we also upgraded the Hong Kong equities to most preferred from neutral. In fact, we see better risk-adjusted exposure to a potential turnaround in mainland China, so in the upside scenario in particular, right? Underpinned by its own idiosyncratic, both top-down and bottom-up tailwinds. So among the drivers, you have recovering property volumes after a complete relaxation on property-related curbs in Hong Kong. At the same time, the expected falling U.S. rate is this year should also bode well for Hong Kong equities valuations. Because historically, we have observed a very negative correlation between U.S. 10-year yield and also Hong Kong, MSCI Hong Kong's forward PE. And last but not least, we also see positive capital management out of Hong Kong companies, namely better than expected dividend payments and also buyback programs. So finally, when it comes to valuations, we found it quite attractive, right? MSCI Hong Kong is trading at a current valuation of negative 1.5 standard deviations below the historical average, which in our view do not really factor in the positive drivers that we just laid out.
Well, Jingchen, this has been very helpful walking our listeners, our clients, through the allocation updates as it relates to China. Before we close out, any final thoughts or takeaways you would like to leave us with?
Sure. Yeah, so I think there are a couple of things I would like to highlight here in the closing, right? Number one, you know, despite the fact we downgraded China, we still think China is an important part of portfolios, particularly for EM investors. History has shown that directionally Chinese equities performance mattered not only for EM complex as a whole, including Chinese equities, but also EM markets excluding China. Now, second is, you know, the neutral view means investors should still hold on a benchmark aligned exposure to Chinese equities market in their EM portfolios, but also global portfolios, right? Those who are underexposed can, in fact, take advantage of this, you know, cheap valuations position in the medium to longer term beneficiaries of China's new growth drivers. Where this could potentially include select leaders in consumption, green, you know, transition or green economy, and innovation sectors such as the semiconductor supply chain. Now, there's one last thing I wanted to highlight is that we do not completely rule out some of the potential upside catalysts. Number one, potentially, right, in upside scenario, we can still see the expansion of more direct support to the property developers, right, or bigger funding support as well, particularly for the urban village renewal scheme. Number two, potentially, you know, we can see a reversal to positive earnings revisions in the upside scenario by late, you know, second quarter of this year or early, you know, 3Q this year. That can be driven by stabilization in property related and also macro conditions. Last but not least, we still got national team here, which can potentially help not only stabilize the market, but also continue its buying even in a market upturn. So in this sort of a bull or upset scenarios, then investors can actually look to add more exposure in growth sensitive sectors like internet and consumers.
Well, Jing Chen, this has been a very productive, informative conversation. So thank you again for dropping by Top of the Morning and for keeping our listeners and our clients informed on CIO's thinking when it comes to China. Thank you again.
Thank you, Dan, so much for having me here.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.